Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Attention to detail.
Well, it happens
get
sometimes.
Get them right. Get them absolutely right every time.
Do you say it's a quarter to nine? Or do you say it's 9:45?
Well, number one, I'd get the time right to start with. That would be the most important element of my consideration.
Do you say it's 45 minutes past nine?
No, I'd say quarter to.
Yeah, very good. So here on radio all the time, people say
what, the 9:45?
Or it's 58 minutes past nine. I mean, it's 2 minutes to ten, isn't it?
Yes, correct.
Well done, okay. Let's get these things correct most of the time. Okay. Markets, better day yesterday. Got a lot of merger activity and also progress on COVID-19 vaccine trials.
Yeah, exactly right. Mega merger Monday boosted investor sentiment, sent stocks high yesterday. Oracle shares jumped 8% on reports the company has beaten Microsoft in the battle for the US operations of TikTok. Immunomedic shares doubled this after Gilead agreed to buy the cancer drug maker for $21 billion. Credit Suisse and UBS registering gains yesterday on reports of a potential tie-up there. Global stocks bounced back after, as you say, a couple of difficult weeks. We know that the true normalization of activity won't occur until a vaccine has been developed and delivered. And investors certainly were pleased with what they heard from the chief executive of Pfizer yesterday, saying it's likely the US will deploy a COVID-19 vaccine to the public before year end. I mean, that is a strong statement from a major industry figure. So carried a lot of weight and got a lot of people excited about that. Let's hope that comes to fruition. Interesting day for the pound. Pound strengthened a little bit yesterday, despite Boris Johnson facing a rebellion in Parliament over legislation that would override key elements of the withdrawal agreement with the European Union. MPs voted on the internal market bill, and by a majority of 77 passed it or rejected the opposition's plan to throw it out completely. MPs will now look at the detail. Still a number of amendments are expected, but seems to be making its passage through the Commons. In terms of markets, S&P 500 was up 1.3%, NASDAQ was up 1.9%. Slightly mixed start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling FTSE up 6 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 9 points. CAC in Paris down 3 points.
So you said the pound went up because there was opposition to the government's internal markets bill, but has it gone down again since the bill was passed?
Not really. I think it sort of went up because there's probably less of a chance of a rebellion, certainly on the major elements, than perhaps was anticipated at the end of last week, beginning of this week. But still got a long way to go and through the Lloyds, etc. But it doesn't seem to have the level of risk around a full government rebellion that was anticipated perhaps a few days ago.
We'll see what happens when it comes back to the House of Commons and they debate that amendment, the Bob Neil amendment, and that could cause a few fireworks.
Yeah, I think it absolutely could, and this is part of the broader picture around the UK's ability to come to a compromise with the European Union to put that all-important trade agreement in place.
I thought Ed Miliband made mincemeat of Boris Johnson yesterday. I wonder if he went out for some fish and chips afterwards.
Well, it was sort of described, you remember the Ed Miliband, where he was sort of criticised for how he ate the bacon sandwich. But
so it was a bacon sandwich, I thought it was fish and chips.
Yeah, exactly. He attacked the Prime Minister in the same way as he did the bacon sandwich, apparently.
Yes, okay. Data out of China today looking a lot better. In fact, China is driving the global economic recovery, if anyone is.
It is. China's retail sales have grown for the first time since the coronavirus, adding to hopes that consumer spending will catch up with and add to the broader economic recovery that we've been seeing in the region. Sales rose 0.5% in August compared to the same month last year. Consumer spending has been a weak spot in China's recovery, with shoppers remaining a little bit cautious against the risks of the potential for new outbreaks and a slight pickup in unemployment. Certainly not the same as you see elsewhere around the world. Before August, retail sales have fallen every month. And we know, of course, it's important retail sales, domestic spending for China increasingly as it makes that transition to a domestic-led economy has to be driven by those retail sales. So a much more important component in terms of their growth profile than they were perhaps a few years ago. China's economy, to remind you, rebounded to growth in the second quarter with 3.2%. It's likely to be the only major region in the world to register growth during the course of this year. That's been driven by industrial production, export growth, property investment, and increasingly hopes around, as I say, the recovery from consumer spending.
How concerned should we be about China's international ambitions?
Well,
in terms of the Belt and Road Initiative, because I mean, if you go, you know, to many parts of the world, they're funding all sorts of things. I mean, they own a lot of ports in Europe. They've pretty much taken over last swathes of Africa, and so, you know, Donald Trump does actually have a point on trade, doesn't he?
He does. Listen, we're seeing a much more aggressive, globalised approach coming through from China and the way in which that they're looking to operate and, as you say, in some regions, looking to dominate. So a change in global dynamics has been taking place. They're using their economic power. China's the world's second largest economy, but catching up pretty fast, particularly these days, with the United States. So eventually will become the world's largest economy. And, of course, it's a planned state economy, which means they can use that firepower in an aggressive fashion to meet some of their more global objectives playing out. And to counterbalance that, you do see the arguments coming through from the Trump administration and from the United States. But I think if we were to see a different president in the United States, instead of simply Donald Trump perhaps leading the way, you'd see a much more multilateral approach to dealing with China and its rivalry compared to this current administration.
And I've noticed that quite a few UK politicians, including Ian Duncan Smith, have stood up in the last few days and heavily criticised China's despicable treatment of the Uyghur Muslim minority in China. But I'm just wondering that when push comes to shove and, you know, they go knocking for a trade deal with China, which way are they going to go then?
Well, as always in international diplomacy, it's somewhat of a balancing act that takes place. Yes, there are economic considerations, but there are also broader humanitarian considerations. And the hope is, of course, that you can develop the two of those together. The hope is that if you're having a dialogue, if you're interacting, if you're trading, then you can also have an influence on some of the other aspects of policy that you see in China and perhaps with other countries as well, to try and bring it into line with your perspective on the world.
Have you ever considered a role in the diplomatic service?
I know, but doing this show with you increasingly requires it, I have to say.
I could see you, you know, our man in Timbuktu or something. That would be that'd be good, wouldn't it? And UBS and Credit Suisse discussing plans for a merger.
Yeah, Bloomberg reporting that the chairman of UBS and Credit Suisse are exploring a potential merger. The project, apparently nicknamed Signal, has been discussed with the Swiss finance minister. An agreement could happen by early next year. It's been a difficult time, as you know, for the European banking sector. The headwinds of negative interest rates has played havoc with margins. Coronavirus, of course, leading to a rapid rise in impairments. A deal would create one of Europe's largest banks, but also give them great scope for the elimination of duplicate costs. So you would expect it to result in significant job cuts. Of course, would need regulatory approvals. There will be perhaps some concern over reduced competition. I think it's probably more of an effect domestically, what that means for Switzerland as opposed to globally. Globally, banking, of course, is incredibly competitive, particularly wealth management. But I think if you look at the reports, it certainly adds to the evidence that a wave of banking consolidation is starting to develop in Europe after some tough times. Share prices are down at depressed levels. Book values look pretty cheap, it has to be said. Bringing some of these business models together, creating some scale, probably much needed in a sector, like I say, that's been downtrodden for some time.
I don't know if you've seen this, the Surrey Mirror is reporting that the government's going to take over large parts of Cobham to create a lorry park to prepare for Brexit, including the forced acquisition of many desirable properties, it says here.
I don't know if that is going to be the case. There would be a strong backlash, believe me, if that turned out to be the case.
But it's not very nice reading, is it, the preparations for Brexit or the lack of them, as is being reported in the press today?
The lack of them is probably the key element to pick up on. The truth is that we're talking about significant changes in the way that businesses operate. They would have to adhere to a wide range of different guidelines that would interfere with the normal operations of their businesses, particularly around the trade barriers, of course, customs duties, certificates that required import-export certificates, a range of factors, onerous factors that would create a huge amount of red tape, would would make it much more difficult for the free flow of goods and infringe upon, as I say, the activity of many companies. So if they aren't aware of it, they need to be planning for it. Although you could remind everyone they have had 4 years to plan for this now, and some much needed clarity may also be welcomed by some businesses.
Well, as long as we can still get clotted cream from Devon to Northern Ireland, that's the thing that counts, isn't it, really?
is that the key element we need to worry about?
Apparently.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 128.5. Euro dollar coming in at 118.5. Going to get 1 euro and 8 cents for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, sir.
Speaks in the morning, Hank Potts and Barclay.